You are now listening to the Geek Bro Network. Check out geekbro.net. That's how geeking is done.
C-R-I-T.
Die!
Welcome everybody to another episode of Crit or Die.
Bears love gaming.
Yes, I like it. We start off with a laugh.
And we're starting jolly.
Bear giggles.
Hello everybody. It's been quite a while.
It's been a minute.
It's been a while since we've actually gotten this bear commune together. Hello everybody.
A bear commune.
A bear commune.
That's fucking terrifying. A bear quarantine.
A bear quarantine.
What is it? I forget what it's called. The claw of bear? I don't know what the plural.
A claw of bears? Crash of rhinos.
Crash of rhinos is scary.
They say a murder of crows, but I would argue a murder of bears is pretty accurate too. A slaughter of bears.
A threatening of bears.
Yeah. A threatening of bears.
There was another podcast that referred to a group of raccoons as a business of raccoons, so that's... now I can only think of groups of raccoons as a business.
Oh my god. Well guys, this is Crit or Die, Bears Love Gaming. Of course, this is Kenny on the mic, and with me, I have the lovely Pedro. Hello, Pedro.
Hello, hello, Kenny. How you doing? How's that pretty face going?
Oh, you know, I'm trying to keep it up.
It's fucking lifted.
It takes forever to keep this mug.
Oh, my God. So much work. Listen, the mug is fine. The teeth, on the other hand. Don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it.
But, yes, and of course, we also have Terror Bear. Hello, Terror Bear.
Hello. What's up, guys? I think your face as a whole is lovely.
I know, bro. But it's my fucking whatever. Anyway.
It doesn't matter.
So it's been a while, guys. I know that we've actually played quite a few games in our span since the last time we recorded.
Right.
And also, there's some games. Honestly, most of the games that we played, we actually liked. There's just one.
Yeah, about two out of three were fine. There was one that wasn't so great.
We're going to do 2.25 reviews today.
Yeah. Let's bang out that quarter right now.
Yeah, let's get the quarter out of the way. So we played this game called Fuck-Ass Dr. Lucky.
Yeah. No, it's Killing Dr. Lucky?
Killing Dr. Lucky,
it's Killing Dr. Lucky, that's what it's called?
Yeah.
It's a very forgetful game. let's just say we played it during SuperCon, Florida SuperCon.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we played it in a lot of people. The thing is, it's one of those things where we had a good review. People have told me, as well as I think they've also told
Jeff. It came recommended. They came recommended to play. They said that we would like it.
In fact, C-Bear said that he really liked the game, which should have already given us a red flag.
No, but I mean, that's not entirely true, because the games that he recommended when we started off were actually good. But the problem with our lovely, lovely C-Bear is that, like, he has one of those, like, tastes that's, like, on the mark about 70% of the time. Then he has about 30% where you look at him and you're like, where did this fucking come from?
I didn't hate it originally, but then playing it again, the randomization, how random it is.
Yeah.
Like, period, it's even too much for me. I like randomization. I love anarchy. But even that one was, like, way too much.
The thing is that it's random, and then it gets to a point where it's almost silly how what you try to fake having cards, like, that stupid shit.
It's all fucking blow. Okay, so the basic of the game, as you would imagine from the title, is you're trying to kill this Dr. Lucky. You all pick a character,
right?
And you're basically chasing this guy from room to room in a mansion as you're moving around a board, and you're playing cards and bluffing with other people to try and murk this motherfucker.
The backstories for the people and the writing on the cards is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
There were some like fun little like jokes
produced
and,
well.
Yeah, yeah. It's just too. I don't know. It was too. Too random.
No, honestly,
and Kenny won, and he hates it.
And I didn't like it. And the thing is that it's random, but then
it got tedious.
It got tedious.
It lasted way too long.
It had the Resident Evil effect on me. That's pretty much that. Ooh. Resident. It really did.
But it definitely was. In that category.
It will never be as bad as the Resident Evil deck building game. However, what I did not like about it was you can figure out the game really quickly, and you just sit there and you go, okay, now I just gotta wait until it gets to me to this point, and that's it. It's like, that's all I did was I was like, I'm just waiting until it gets to me, and then I'm going to wait till everybody runs out of cards, and then I'm just going to go ahead and play my...
And the funny thing was, like, this, it even started off wrong, because we were offered a different game that was going to be way longer
yeah.
and looked interesting, but, like, when you're walking around at a convention sometimes you go to a convention for like the board games if you're like you're going to like Gen Con or something like that. But this is kind of like a more catch-all kind of thing.
Correct.
We all had things we had to do. Kenny and I had to go perform later on.
Yeah, we were doing. We were actually doing improv during that day. Do it with Halo Kitty, which was actually pretty cool.
Yeah. So unfortunately, we definitely looked at that game. We're like, yeah, we're not going to be able to make this work.
And I saw Jeffrey the Giraffe wrestle.
You saw Jeffrey the Giraffe wrestle?
Yes.
He wrestled Vampiro. Yeah. Well, not Vampiro. No, Gangrel. Gangrel.
Gangrel hit him out of the ring with an Amazon box.
Uh-huh. Of course he did.
That he ordered.
He ordered it and it got there.
That's the fastest delivery I've seen.
That's pretty awesome.
But yeah, that game was... I mean, it's a quick game to pick up. I would say try it if you want to because it is a quick game to learn. If you want something that's just kind of a fast pace, you're doing a game night where you want to play like 5 or 6 games in a night. If you don't eat shit and take your time.
You're like, okay.
Yeah, because it can take a long time to play through, especially if you have people that you play with that like to sit and think for 3 hours.
Not going to be pointing any audio fingers at anybody at this table.
No, he's not looking at me. I know that much.
Yeah, okay.
I think he's looking at me.
Yeah.
I think he's staring in your eyes.
I would recommend this if it's in the discount pile and you have some extra cash and... There's nothing else that you
I don't
want.
Think it's that expensive, actually.
No, it really is. I last time I checked, the actual pricing is around $20-$25.
Like I said, when it's in the discount pile and you don't have a lot of cash and you want to do something else, I would definitely not recommend it.
Well, let's do a quick vote then. I will go ahead. I'll let Jeff start.
What are we doing?
We're doing 1 to 10.
Okay. 4, 3...
Oh, man.
That's a 4.
That is tied with the lowest score that we've given so far.
It's a 4. I really didn't. I had fun being around you guys. This is the one good thing with like board games in general. Like as long as you got a good crew, you're always going to find some enjoyment in misery. But this was not fun times.
Yeah, if you had to rely on the people you're playing with, unfortunately, that's not a good game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to be able to enjoy the game even if you're playing with strangers. Right, so I would still have to give it a 5. The only reason why I give it a 5 and not a 4 is because I gave Settlers of Catan a 4. And
what'd you give Resident Evil?
I gave Resident Evil the worst score. I think we gave it collectively a 3.
Yeah, I think we both gave it a 3.
And you said that this reminded you of Resident Evil.
It's in that ballpark. It's just not like I would still play Dr. Lucky over the Resident Evil game. I will only demo the Resident Evil game just so that I, because misery loves company. So I would love to bring more people in.
Well, you said you wanted to do it with me.
You know what? We should do that. We should do a live.
We should do a live game of this.
Oh
my God.
And then I just want to just zoom in on Jeff's face throughout the whole entire time. Like it's just a fixed camera on him throughout the whole time he's playing. So we can see his face all happy to the point he's like, the fuck is this?
The fucking tedious ass game.
The fuckanery.
So, yeah, so we got that game out of the way.
Yeah, super fast, boom. Okay, let's move on to the much better stuff.
Yeah, let's go on to the more meat of this of the actual episode. The next game that we actually played right after that was actually a cool game that Jeff, of course, introduced because Jeff really hasn't really bombed any games yet.
Yeah, and I mean, you've been wanting to play this since you came on and since you joined us. This has been like one of the big ones. So this was, I was looking forward to it because like, again, you seem so excited about it. So I'm like, all right.
It's the game's Lords of Vegas. It's created by Mayfair Games. It's a game that it's one of my favorite games that I own. You can still find it available. It's not like it's vaulted or anything like that. You can get it for $45 on Amazon still.
Okay, so standard pricing.
I really wanted you guys to play it because it's got that cool Vegas feel, but you're also building up Vegas that doesn't exist there. Essentially, the way the game works is Las Vegas hasn't been built yet, and you're tycoons that are going to build Las Vegas, the casinos. There's numbered lots, and what happens is you start collecting lots and gaining money based on the amount of lots you have, and then you can eventually start building casinos, and there's dice involved. There's numbers on each of the squares associated with those casinos. And then those numbers, whoever has the higher numbers, is the boss of those casinos. And there's a lot of fucanery in the game.
So
it's really complicated. Like, there's a lot of...
It is actually as complicated as it sounds. The only thing about it is that it's just one of those games where you just have... Honestly, it is a game where you have to bring somebody in who's already played it so that they can go ahead and just walk you through it because... I've looked at the actual game. Like, even though the rules of it is really just one sheet, it's still quite a bit to read, like
to go through the motions.
It's a bit to digest by yourself if you've never played the game.
But it fortunately, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Okay. No, what's good is that they do give you a card that tells you exactly what you can do.
I love it when games do this because it's one of those, like, I'm one of these people that I can pay attention, right? And I'll look you right in the eye and you'll tell me the rules and I'm like, I got you. And it's my turn. I'm like, what the fuck do I do?
Right. Now, the thing is, yes, it's complicated, but at the same time, no, it's not. Mm-hmm. Because it is like a 4-page rule book. It's super small. Like, it's not a lot of rules. It's just there's a lot of intricacies of stuff that you can do because you can either gamble at somebody's casino, you can build a casino, you can change the because there's colored tiles. And part of the gambling aspect of it, it's what's cool about the game is that it incorporates gambling aspects to the game. You're drawing every turn, you're drawing a card and it's got a color associated to it.
Right.
So when you're building your casino, you want to try to guess and figure out what are the odds of that color casino being drawn because then you get paid more money for it.
Yeah. I like to kind of think of it as if you go on Monopoly and you focus just on Park Place and I forgot what the other one, like the big...
Boardwalk.
Boardwalk. I feel like that's sort of what this game is. It's like, because there are elements of Monopoly to it where you are collecting, like there's actual like paper money that you get every turn and that you get whenever you hit big on your casinos and in the different locations. And what I really liked about this game, and I think was sort of a genius how it was designed, is that it incorporates gambling. It incorporates the very theme that it's been designed under. Mm-hmm. And like it's simple. It's just dice rolling, but like that kind of attention to detail like really goes a long way for me.
Right.
And again, incorporating at the end of your turn gambling at another character's or another player's casino, like that's such a nice extra fuck you to add on there.
Right.
And the thing is that to do these different actions don't cost as much. Like, everything costs money to do in the game. However, the amount of money, it doesn't really... Like, it's minimal once you get towards the latter part of the game. So, it just allows you to mess around. Like, everything is probability, from changing the tiles to guess whether or not the next card, the color is going to come up, to actually, it allows you, then the one big thing about the game is that there's lots, and every building or every section has between 6 to 9 to 12 different spaces.
Right.
Right? Which you can go ahead and build your casinos on. Now, any other player can also build in that area, in that part of the strip. Now, the dice come into play because every lot has a dice number. It's associated, corresponding with a dice number. So obviously, the ones that are closer to the strip have a higher dice roll, and the ones further away from it have a lower one. So whoever has the highest dice roll lot in that block actually controls it. They are considered the boss of the casino. Just like in True Vegas style back in that time, they would fight one another to gain control. So you do that all the time. You can be, at one point of the game, you can have everything that you needed, like you built this whole huge nine lot casino, and then all of a sudden, this one person just comes right in and swoops over and literally can just ruin everything you just did.
Yeah. Well, and the cool thing about the lots is every turn when you're drawing those cards that we had mentioned, it has a lot associated to it. So when you draw it, that's the lot you get. So you don't get to pick which lots you have. It's randomized also, it's gambling too.
Yeah. And also adding in the other element of being able to negotiate and do stuff with players, again, adding more to this feel of like new spot, trying to build it up, trying to broker deals to try and especially try to fuck over other people. I think this might be the most fuckery based game that we've played. Like the potential for
it is
very,
actually,
very strong.
Well, I don't know, the game we played tonight.
Oh, the game! Oh, the other game we talked about was also fun, but the game we played
right before we record has a lot of fuckery. But this was a different level because the game we'll talk about it later. But the one that we played had a more like direct kind of goal.
Right.
The way that Vegas worked is that there were multiple angles that you could be going for in order to get points, and in order to end up winning. Like I vividly remember at one point Kenny was willing to give me almost all of his money to get one specific property. Mm-hmm. But if I had given him that property, he literally would have owned everything in one block.
I would have run gangbusters on everything.
So like he literally offered it, and I'm like, I literally can't, because if I do this, like, you're gonna automatically fucking win this game.
Fuck shit up. Well, and then the to go on with the theming that you'd mentioned earlier, also the chips to keep track of the score. It's poker chips.
Yeah.
The money It looks like Monopoly money. It's colored, but it's got on the face. It's got Sammy Davis Jr. It's got Frank Sinatra. Yeah. It's got Elvis.
It's got classic.
Was it Capone? No, it wasn't Capone. It's Frank, Elvis, Dean, and Dean Martin, and Sammy.
And Sammy.
Okay. Yeah.
One of the cool features of the game, one of the actions that you can actually do, which I thought was hilarious, was the thing is called sprawling.
Sprawl. Yeah.
Sprawling, which is pretty much, it's like you can pay twice as much for an actual lot and just say you took it over.
And just squat. Like, you're squatting. Like, you're squatting on it.
And that, I think that's hilarious because then you play the actual lottery on that too, because it might just happen that somebody else draws that lot later on in the game and now you lose it.
Yeah, you built a casino.
Even though you spent a crazy amount of money for it.
Yep.
Honestly, every aspect of it has probability, has a randomness to it.
Yeah.
Everything that you do in that game.
It honestly felt like one of the most cohesive in every aspect, from production to presentation to actually playing the game.
And we didn't play it because the base game can play four people. They did do an expansion called Up, which it's not a pricey expansion. I think it's like $14-15.
Oh, wow, yeah, that's very reasonable.
I don't think it was that much more. But it adds tiles where now you can play six people and you build the casinos. Because in this game, the casinos are just one level. In the base model, there's just one floor, essentially, the casino. With Up, you actually build levels to, and there's rules on to build the levels to the casino. So you'll have stacks of casinos throughout, and those affect score, and those affect, so it changes the game completely, because now you're fighting for less space against six people.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty, and I like that. Like, it's almost like you're fighting for actual space in the sky.
Right.
Which I think is awesome. That adds an extra layer, but what is interesting about the game that you brought up earlier is that comparing it to the other game we're going to be reviewing later on, this game allows you to give different ways to win. It doesn't have to be
multiple
just
angles,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's multiple angles like Pedro brought up. And instead of the other game, it has one sole focus. This one, it's like, okay, they're going to stop me in one avenue. I have five other avenues to go by.
Yeah,
and
well, maybe quite not that many, but you have.
Well, yeah, you have different. You have more than one.
You have a bunch of ways that you can.
In our game, Kenny was light years in front of us.
Yeah, so you guys
for most of the game,
it was one of those where it's like, you know, I was Al Green for a very fucking long time, and then very like literally at the apex of this game, right before the end, Pedro being fucking Tony, being the fucking Godfather comes in and sweeps in and just takes over part of my fucking.
And I fucked up in the second turn of the game, which ended up giving Kenny control for 80%. Mm-hmm. At the very end, I come in and like cripple him long enough for Jeff to come in and be like, I got this, and just run away with
and
it.
And I won by 1 point.
Yes.
By a point, yeah.
By 1 point.
Which is awesome. I think that's great, because that's why this is a good game. It's one of those, it's like, yay, you're winning. And then at any moment,
you're
it
like,
can
oh,
just
man.
By a huge margin. So it's a game that you're never out.
Yeah.
Even if you think you are. It's so randomized that but randomized in a good way, not like Dr. Lucky.
Yeah.
It's randomized.
It's not randomized.
What it is that it's calculated, where it's like there are enough avenues where if you're looking that you're losing in one specific way, you can modify how you're playing and win from a different angle.
Right, right.
I know, and it's quick too. It allows you to really change gears in the game in from one round to another. Like, in other games, you can do that, but it takes a little bit more because you've already started. You already started a foundation. In this game, you can literally scrap your foundation and just forget it. I'm going to another side and just start off. It's honestly, I mean, I really can't compare it to any other game. It is a mix of. It's not even a resource management game.
I was gonna say it was resource management, but it kind of isn't.
Right.
No, there's not a lot of resource managing what you're doing. You're just keeping, like, because that you gain control of the lots through cards, it's different if you would have to trade or something to get the lots. But since you're guaranteed to be getting lots, you're guaranteed to be getting a certain amount of money every turn, you're going to eventually be able to afford to build these things.
Right.
It's not like these other games where, like, you just could get fucked the entire time.
It's
more like a game of chance.
Yeah.
It's like they modified Monopoly. To be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, they just moved Monopoly, the most two expensive pieces. That's the whole game.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, yeah. You know what? Let's go ahead and give it a rating, guys. I honestly think this is going to be a much more optimistic rating.
Yeah. I'm actually going to give this a 10.
Whoa.
Like,
I'm big guns right there.
I'm not big on, like, oh, 10 isn't perfect. But, like, in terms of enjoyability, in terms of design, how it looks, like, all of it, like, this is one of the best board games that I've played in all the ones that we've tossed out. Like, I put that up there with Betrayal as,
oh,
like,
nice.
One that, like, I can see, like, playing that one multiple
and
times.
And Betrayal was one of the games that we actually gave a – that was our first game that we gave a perfect score.
Yeah.
I love that game.
Yeah. It's widely beloved, and I feel that if this isn't widely beloved, like, it kind of should be.
Right. Oh,
yeah,
Jester.
I'm going with a 10, too. I absolutely love this game. That's why I've been pushing to get you guys to play it.
Yeah, we got it. Like, we got it. We're like, yeah.
No. Again, you really haven't messed – you have not given us a horrible game yet. Get it? You might get there, but
it's going to happen at some point.
At some point, you're going to give us a game that we're going to look at you and go, there it is. There's the bad game. But it hasn't happened yet. Honestly, this is a really good game. I'm not going to break the streak here. I'll keep it at a 10.
Oh, wow.
We'll go ahead and give it a 10. Honestly, this game, I thought about it. On driveway home, I wanted to play it again. Like, honestly, you don't realize the time. The game was long. It's a long game.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only thing that I would say is that be prepared to sit and play for a while. This is not we're waiting for a layover to get on a plane.
It
the
could
next
be like a I could see it if you have a lot of people, it ending in 45 minutes. But with the three of us, I think it was about an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Well, and the thing is, too, it was your first time playing.
Yes.
Now, if we were to play it again, I think we could knock it out in 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah, just be banging it out
because
real
you
fast.
Know exactly what you're going to do. You know what's happening next. You have an idea of how the game's working. First game's going to take you a little longer, but once you get the – like, just like the other game we played.
Yeah.
You guys – and that was a pretty quick pickup. It didn't take us that long to play. We'll talk about that. But I think that Lords of Vegas is one of those games, just like most games, once you've already played it once or twice, you know what's going on. You're still going to have those people that take forever.
Right.
But essentially, you shouldn't be taking that long because you know what it is that has to be and has to not be done. So, I love it. I love it. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
No. Honestly, the next time that we attend GameCon over there at Artistic Vibes, we gotta go ahead and make sure that we demo that game.
Yeah,
for sure. We gotta let people play that.
Yeah.
The other game that we should have people demo, which to me was a surprising, the company that actually made it. The other game that we tried out was called Smash Up, and this one was done by AEG, mm-hmm. Which it shouldn't surprise me. The only reason why it surprises me is because AEG reminds me of games that you can get from your local store, not like from an actual game shop. Uh-huh. Like AEG is the one that made
The more commonly available than something more specialized,
yeah, secret,
like Lord of Vegas.
You know, the Secret Letter, I think, you know, the Secret...
Love Letter, forgive me.
Love Letter, they created Love Letter, so it's in that same vein. But again, they also created other games that you're like, okay, this is kind of like, whatever. Yeah. But in this one... I honestly think this is another one that I honestly think they hit a home run. Not as much as Vegas, but this is a really fun game.
Yeah, Smash Up's another one that I love. The artwork is just, it's really cool. The box says the shuffle building game of total awesomeness. It's essentially a deck building game, but it's not.
It's a deck building game insofar as that you have a deck that you put together from two factions, as opposed to like playing round by round and building a deck from drawing
Correct.
Cards.
You
and
already
out.
Have the deck built.
You have your entire deck available to you. So you have like a dozen factions? It's like
there's
something like a dozen factions that you can actually pick,
right?
That have synergies that work together or don't work together in some cases.
You basically have, just as an example, I have the game we played has, I think, two expansions that I had bought in it, because there's about seven or eight expansions to this game.
Yeah.
They have like the pretty edition where it's like fairies and unicorns and stuff. The main box comes with, I'll just name a few, aliens, zombies.
Oh no, let's go with the ones that we actually played with.
Oh, so when we played now and demoed it, I played the ghost deck, which is, it was ghosts and zombies.
Yeah.
Then bear.
That's crazy. Which it's great because why not?
It logically makes sense if you're thinking about like the one I played was a little weirder. I played robots and Eldritch Horrors, which
yes, from the Cthulhu Expedition.
Very strange.
Which were oddly, it was an oddly good pairing.
Yeah.
I'll talk about this when we get further on.
And then, of course, me being myself, I actually had to fight with Pedro for this one. I actually got bears. The bear cavalry, and dinosaurs.
That actually felt like it was a really strong
combination.
And the
whole thing about this game, and like Jeff brought up, is that some of these decks work very well together,
right?
And some of these do not work well at all with each other,
right?
And it really, what's fun is that the things that Jeff has played it before. I honestly never played it. Neither has Pedro. So we just chose based off of
this looked cool.
What we thought was cool,
right? Yeah. I there's certain decks. So a lot of people don't like playing the ghost deck. So I want to try to master the ghost deck because nobody likes playing with it.
I saw how that ghost deck could be effective. So the way that we're kind of going off. There,
oh yeah.
So the way that you play the game is that everybody picks their own individual deck. You pick your two decks, shuffle them together. That's what you're playing with.
Correct.
You put out five locations.
So the locations we put out five, and I'm sorry to cut. We actually, now that I think about it, we should have put out four.
Oh, it's only four locations.
Yeah, that's fine.
I believe it's plus. It's one plus more one. Than the number of players.
Okay. Well, I mean that didn't throw it off balance. If anything, there might have actually been a little more strategy for
right.
me, like okay. So what you do is that every turn you play an action, which will have some sort of effect on the board.
Correct.
And a minion. And what you're trying to do is that you're trying to reach a certain score that's on each one of the locations.
Right.
And that score is like you like break the location once. The combined minions on it from every player reaches that
score.
Correct, the number, yeah.
And whoever wins it, whoever has the highest score in that location will get the most amount of points. Second place gets the second amount of points. Third place, and so on and so forth, all the way down to...
Right.
Or rather, it's only three, and then after that, I assume if you have more players, then they're just...
Well,
fucked.
because this game's for four players. We have done it with five, and it's worked. Because you just add an extra base.
Right,
because,
and also the expansions help out, too.
And the expansions help out, too. It the cool thing with the bases also is that each of them has a certain print on them that'll give that base certain abilities.
Right.
So some of the bases, there was one base, because each base card has three numbers, which is what Pedro said, that it goes from first place, second place, third place. One base in particular that we got in our game had all zeros, but it said that however many minions you played on that base when it scores is how many points you get.
Yeah.
And the goal is to get to 15 victory points.
Yes.
Most bases, the max they'll give you is 5, unless you have special cases like that one. And the least is 0 in some of those.
Yeah. From the most that we saw that we got fortunate, even...
There was one that was like two, like ones and twos that were there.
And the thing about the game is the fuckery. That's really what it is. You play this game to fuck around because with these bases, certain cards that you play can affect your minions, your creatures, or it can affect other people's minions, creatures, or hand. And when I played... I played with the bears. The thing about bears is you don't threaten a bear.
they're very territorial.
So the moment you go into any base that has a minion that has a bear minion, chances are they're gonna eat it.
Unless it's bigger, it's probably gonna die.
Yeah. So that was the one thing, and because I had the second biggest creature deck, which was actually dinosaurs. Because that's all it is. The dinosaurs are just big, beefy creatures that just run around and stomp on things. And so, honestly, for what it was worth, it actually worked out very well how I had it. The other aspect of the game that you can also fuck around with people is what we call a madness deck, which is just a deck of cards that say the word madness on it. And they give it's an action card. It allows you to either discard, remove it from your hand. Or draw two cards.
Because it has a negative effect.
Because it has a negative effect at the end of the game. It counts as negative points towards the end of the game.
So this is actually one of my criticisms of the game. And it's not so much of the game itself, but kind of the issue with adding in multiple add-ons to it. Like, I assume that madness thing was connected with the Cthulhu stuff,
correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I was the only person that was using stuff from that Cthulhu expansion, right? Neither one of you were using it, and once I started adding on Madness, there was very little you guys could do to kind of react to that.
Right.
And that's sort of a problem with adding stuff onto this type of game, where you're structured around a certain balance. The game is very clearly balanced for that original set, right? And every time that they add in a new expansion, they have to find some way to balance those cards out. So,
right.
And this is a problem that Magic has all the time, where you have a certain thing, certain things that stay consistent an entire time. You add in something new that changes the dynamic and makes it you at a more at a larger disadvantage if
right.
you don't pick something from that new thing. So
right.
it's not. It wasn't bad, but it's something where I'm like, ooh, that could be an issue if you end up getting, like, or maybe not. I don't know, because that's the thing. Is we only played with that. I think that was the only extra expansion, right?
I think the Cthulhu might be the only other expansion I have in here.
What about the Isthmus?
That was from the Cthulhu.
Yeah.
Okay. I think what it is, the whole thing about Madness was that it is a hindrance, and if you let it, and if you... Because the thing is that it allows you to, as an action, remove it from your hand so that it, you know, you don't play it, you don't keep it in your hand, because it obviously, like we said, it gives you negative points at the end. You know, it is a hindrance. It, really what it is that basically Cthulhu, I think that when you played it or when Pedro played it, was more of a hand control. It was making it so that it kept feeding you cards you can't use.
Yeah.
Just to delay you from actually playing on what he's doing, because... What I thought was interesting is his deck, Pedro's deck, was very fast-paced. His robots, even though they were small, they can come out several at a time.
Yeah.
They were just very low-powered, so that the balance was, even if they had five or six of them, one of my bears can come in and go, "Wah!" and just fucking,
yeah.
and fucking knock them out, which is great because it works out. I honestly think it was still balanced. Even though Madness is a little annoying, I think that was the whole point.
Well, Madness messed with me on the Ghost deck.
Oh, and that was great.
That's what I mean about the balance of it, because it's very clear that Ghost deck was not designed for something like Madness to
right.
kind of be mixed in.
Because you want the least amount of cards in your hand, which that's why I played it with the Zombie deck, because the Zombie deck, you're basically wanting cards in your discard pile because they rise from your discard pile.
Yeah, you can pretty much bring them back, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
They're undead.
And it works really well.
I did get another expansion because the plants, the ghosts, the bear cavalry, and the steampunk are all from the awesome level 9000 expansion.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, that bear cavalry, I honestly know that I should try other decks, but that was a lot of fun.
I mean, Kenny, literally like the second turn, Kenny's already fucking things up, and I'm just like,
oh, no.
There's one I want to get, because this is specifically for you, Bear, that it's Smash Up Big in Japan.
Oh.
So
there's a lot of kaiju.
It's yeah. kaiju.
All right.
I'm trying to look and see what it's kaiju. What else? Mega Troopers.
Okay, it's like Sentai.
EDC. I don't know what that is.
What?
It looks like.
EDC?
EDC?
ITTYC. I don't know.
ITTYC.
That's a miss.
Itty
Critters.
Okay.
So it's like little Mega Troopers and Magical Girls.
Okay.
Use spells and teamwork and weaponized
Jesus
cuteness.
Christ, that sounds,
smash faces.
That sounds right. ridiculous and sounds right up my alley.
Yeah. But they have the Big in Japan expansion. They
have
a Munchkin game.
Munchkin was actually something I was kind of thinking about, because Munchkin is also one of those games that really, like, I feel does a pretty good job of, like, just basically taking every single expansion that comes out and being like, yeah, you can throw it all together.
You throw it all together and make it fun, which I think I honestly think that it's still, this deck, this game still does that. The only criticism I think that we can have about this game is that it is a party game. This is not a two-player game. You have to have three or more.
Yeah.
This is not a one-on-one. I can see this game being very slow, depending on who you play with as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you play with strangers, it's not as fun, because if Pedro wasn't here, I wouldn't have, you know, fucked with him as much.
Fucking me right out of the gate.
But you still won, so you know, by the skin of your teeth.
It was really close. It was closer than it should have been. Yeah.
They came out with an expansion called Cease and Desist, and it's basically, they have Star Trek, D&D.
that's
like
awesome.
Gundam, yeah,
giant robots.
It looks like Optimus Prime.
Nice.
It's a yellow and white.
Oh, that's fucking Transformers.
Transformer.
Yeah, oh, that's great.
I might have to get that one. And actually, it says season, like, some of the expansions can be standalone two-player games. It actually says.
Oh, but that's the thing.
But also, I think that's sort of a benefit of it, where I can definitely see how, just like Munchkin, these individual things can be its own.
Right.
Like, you can, as long as you have the amount of decks necessary, I guess for as long as you have either 4 to 6, like you can have 2 or 3 people playing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I still think that this, in my opinion, I don't see this as being a 2-player game. I honestly, you have to be a party game. It has to be. Like, that's the only like criticism I give it. That's the only. 3 was fine. 3 was still had a good flow. It didn't last very. It didn't last as long as it could have.
Yeah.
Even with us reading cards and going over it, I could see obviously the more people you have, I think that this game, the more people you have, you would think it would be longer, but it would actually probably be faster because people are just
yes and no, just because now you're having to focus on another person.
Yeah.
So it's like you could be sneaking your debt. You can be sneaking onto another base, and everybody's so focused on the base that has 25 minions each on it that are all worth one.
And person is like, I'm going to go to this other one.
Yeah, but I think that's how a lot of games, I think that's why you have a lot of games like that. Like Munchkin is one of those where people can focus on literally one person.
Oh, yeah.
And this other person's just slowly gaining life.
I've had games where I've been level 9. I'm about to grow to level 10. And I remember breaking down a door and I got a level 1 creature and literally every other fucking person started stacking on it till the creature beat me by one fucking level.
But I love that though. That shit's hilarious. Yeah. Where
oh,
you
it's
do
hysterical.
That.
I was so mad at the time, but now it's super fucking fun and funny.
But yes, but I think this game is a lot like that. I think that we didn't have moments like that yet where we all had to jump on one person. I think though what was hilarious was seeing how some factions really screw over other factions and how no matter, like, it was just funny to watch. It's an interesting synergy. It would be great to try out this game with decks that don't fit with each other and see how that goes. Maybe even doing a randomness where you can't choose the faction. You literally have to roll a die and then just pick those two.
That sounds like that would be fun. I would like
we
to
can do that one.
Yeah.
I think that would be a cool idea.
Lords of Vegas. Lords of Vegas meets Smash Up.
Oh, my God. There you go. Smash I got the lot.
Imagine bears and eldritch horrors.
I'll look into that Big in Japan expansion to see if
that
I
is pretty cool. Yeah, but while you're doing that, sir, let's go ahead and start giving out the ratings because let's see what you guys think. I'm gonna go first since I haven't gone first yet. Honestly, with this game, I can see this game has a lot of replay value. It really does. Again, the only criticism I give it is that it has to be 3 or more people. I know that Vegas needs 3 or more people in order for it to be fun because having 2 people would take forever. But in this one for me, there's no way that I can think of it being more than just only a 2-player game. With that, I actually give this a 9.
Wow.
Stick this at a solid 9. Really because it is simple enough that you get it. It's really just here are the rules. This is what you have to do. The game, the only other criticism was the fact that this is like Magic Errata because you have to go by what the card says. The wording is very key in this game.
And there were more than a couple times we kind of looked at something and we're like, I think this is what this is saying. And
yeah, we were using magic rules. We're like, if it has these words, or it doesn't have these words, then that means it does this.
Yeah. Yeah, Jeff, what do you...
I'm gonna probably give it a 9 also because I just love playing this game. I just haven't played in a while because my group is 5 or 6 people. A few of them aren't really fans of the game.
Let me guess, is one of them Will?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's that weird. That's like that 30% where you're just like, I don't know you. So I was more not down on it, but I had a little more criticisms. But as we talked it out, actually, you guys talked it up, and the more I thought about it, so I'm going to give this an 8.
Okay.
An 8? Well, that's good.
I was going to start with a 6. Because it was good, but I definitely had the feeling of like not balanced enough because of that situation. But the more that you talked about it, I could see more how it's not as bad as I originally thought. That there is a certain balance to it. So,
I think there's a good replay value in it because now you guys know the rules. We can set this up in 5 minutes.
It's not only that. I'll say this: the comparison I give it, it's actually a much more tame version of Epic Spell Wars. I'm gonna say that right now. I feel that this is a very more
kind of.
it's a tamer version of it. You know, I know that's a little bit strange to say it. That's how I feel, only because of the way the cards are, the fact that it's really kind of wacky what these cards do.
Yeah,
and everybody plays different cards. Like it's on the. I mean, there's really not much wrong with this. I'm at this point, the reason why I give it a 9 is because I'm nitpicking at this point.
Yeah, I know. I'm definitely going with an 8. Like, again, you talked it up, and I thought about it a little bit more, and it actually is better than I was giving it credit for.
So this is so we're giving it now. It's like an 8.765444444 infinity. But yeah, other than that fuck ass game we talked about in the beginning, everything else was this is a pretty optimistic episode. You know, honestly, it's been a while. You know, that fuck ass game was been one game that we, you know, that's the only downside in
the
line.
Yeah, we were kind of saddled with that for a while, so it's kind of good that we got these other two to
we got it out the way. Yeah. It was a palate cleanser.
I've still got a couple more that I really want you guys to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Update. I finally got a chance to try Mysterium at our last.
Let's do a quick update. Quick update.
I loved it. It was as fun. It was as fun playing it as it was watching it.
Right.
And we actually beat it.
Beat the game.
We beat it.
Because
thanks to Jeff.
You know why, right?
Jeff
you know why,
knows
right?
Kenny.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
why,
no,
right?
Yeah, no, no,
you know
Kenny,
why,
it
right?
wasn't you.
You know why,
you gave
right?
me 75
because,
cards.
Because Will was not the fuck-ass ghost.
Yeah. I think Will.
You should have seen how salty he was when he looked over and he goes, what was amazing?
A little bit of Morton's right there.
I couldn't figure out my shit because Kenny would give me all his throwaway cards. But I figured out Pedro's in 2 seconds. I was like, dude, it's that one. Dude, it's that one.
It's all right.
What would happen would be I would be between two of them. I'm like, right. It might be this one, it might be that one. And I think actually every time that it was that and you called one, it really was the one that you said. And I was just like, it might be.
And then the last one, somehow I figured out Kenny's train of thought. I was like, Notre Dame Cathedral, it's in Paris.
There's a nun. Pick the nun. I picked the nun. That's the nun.
That's so funny.
But I love it.
Well, there's
great.
A table in the middle of that card. So obviously food's related, which is that.
Guys, it sucks when your memories as a ghost is very limited to what I could give you.
The look on Kenny's face for a bunch of those draws was,
it
was beautiful.
If I could have banged my head on the table any louder. But yeah.
Ghost cannot knock.
Actually, another update, what I wanted to do is I kind of went a little crazy when it came to Kickstarter. Like earlier in the year, paid stuff. And now there's actual games coming in. In November, a couple months from now, there's going to be actually a huge influx of games that are going to be
coming in.
About four.
Oh, nice!
Right, one of them is actually going to be pretty cool. It's called Doomsday Bots, which is we all are mad scientists creating robots. That it has a draft,
element
aspect to it, which is great because that means that we randomize cards and we literally go, I want this card. You can keep this crap, and then we have to make cards out of
it,
which is pretty cool. Another one is based off of a game from Binding of Isaacs.
The Binding of Isaacs.
I actually got that game, that card game. It looks like a lot of fun. It looks like you can fuck around with people a lot. So I can't wait for that one. It's also a deck building game as well. What's the other one? And it's just two random ass games that. Trogdor. I don't know if anybody's heard that. Trogdor.
Trogdor game.
Yeah, they made a Trogdor game
from
Strong Bad. Yeah.
Started doing new episodes of that. Like with the guy finished Gravity Falls and he went back.
Was that the same guy?
Same guy.
That's why I like Gravity Falls so much. That's like one of my favorite.
How fucking crazy to go from doing that to like, now I got a fucking Nickelodeon show.
Yeah. Hey, but you know, it's not that much of a stretch considering fucking Brandon Smalls fucking did home movies, and then went from there to fucking Metalocalypse.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? But these games are coming out. And then another one is actually an RPG pad and pencil game called Tiny Heroes, where it's a D6. RPG, which I don't think we'll probably do. I don't know if we should do that here. We'll probably maybe demo it, depending on a game con. But yeah, these three games really I think will be fun.
So we've got a fourth game because I think he listens. Renee Giggles, what's up,
Renee?
You know Giggles.
Yeah, I know.
He kickstarted the Batman animated series one.
Oh, nice.
So I don't know when that comes in. I'll have to message
nice
him,
to
but maybe we
that.
Can have him bring it. And show us how to play it.
One of my saddest things is one of my really good friends just moved to Atlanta and he had the Dark Souls game.
Oh.
And I was dying to fucking play that game because it's apparently pretty fucking accurate to the fucking game, which meant that you die
impossible.
Over and over again.
And I'm sorry. There is one more game I just remembered. I'm looking at the list now. The other one is called Arcade Fighter, which is a card game that mixes rock, paper, scissors. Which is the rock, paper, scissors aspect. Like, you play, pretty much playing war.
Okay.
And then depending on what move hits, you can actually tack on like a combo in a fucking arcade.
Oh my god, that's cool. Crazy.
Yeah, so it's very weird. I don't know why I did this to myself. But Tiff loves me anyway. So
I'm sorry,
so
baby.
I'm hoping that these come out very soon so we can try them out. And anybody that's out there that's listening to this, if there's a game that you think that we should play, I know that in the very near future, we're actually going to be recording us playtesting some of these games, reviewing these games while we're playing them. And it's going to be solely for our Patreon listeners. So, guys, let us know what you like for us to play. If you want us to get really frustrated, give us a really crappy game to try out. If you think that there's an expansion to the Resident Evil deck building game, go fuck yourself, because I will not do that. But guys, until then, I think this was a lot of fun. I'm just glad that we did this. And
I actually had quite a bit of fun. And I think it would be time for the AS with Mars segment.
It's been so long since we did this. I've dreamed about this. Whispers. Hear my beard on the fucking wind.
Guys, thank you again for listening to another episode of Crit or Die. Bears Love Gaming.
Oh, Bears Love Gaming. I love it so much. It's so nice.
Until next time, guys.
We'll see you later.
Thank you very much.
Keep yourself nice and wet.
Will's a fuck-ass ghost. Fuck!